Listeners and viewers, Ron Stefanski, and we are back, episode 2 with John Valverde, the visionary CEO of Youth Build. And John, what a treat and what a pleasure. Yes, the subject matter of our first episode was tough, at times grim. But you know what? I think both of us have locked arms with each other also in our many conversations on and off camera to recognize the power of our experience in affording ourselves and others a second chance at lifelong learning and leadership with purpose and passion. And John, you are a stunning example of that. So I want to ask you a really tough question now. No more, no softballs here, but in your darkest hours in prison, when you look back, what were you thinking about? Because you were obviously thinking about a righteous path forward. And in that worst moment you were there, what did you see that you now see as part of the journey and part of the purpose of Youth Build?
What a great question. And, I have to say, people do ask me all the time how I could have survived 16 years in prison. And as you know, and most people are aware, prisons are not designed to be nice places. And
no, or rehabilitative or restorative in any way.
Yeah. And so how did I survive 16 years in prison? Well, one, I would say my education really contributed, and I was able to help the weapons dealer, the drug dealer, the gang leader write letters to their family and their children. And because I could read and write, I became an asset in that way. And I gained respect because I was a tutor, because I was displaying a commitment to the other residents in the facility, the others I was incarcerated with, that I was really trying to contribute to their lives and use my gifts to help others. And so all of that is what kept me going in many ways. But if I had to really, really sum it up, I had failed my mom. I had failed my father, whom I was building a new relationship with. I had done harm to a lot of people who cared about me, believed in me, had high hopes for me. And I think what motivated me the most on the darkest days was to make my parents proud and to show them that who they wanted me to be, maybe who I was meant to be, could still happen, even though I was facing so much time in a maximum security prison. And even though I didn't know if I was going to make it to the end, they didn't know if I was going to make it to the end. But that kept me going. And each day contributing, making a difference in some way, gave me the strength to come back the next day and the next year. And I started to realize that my goal became to become better each year than I was the year before, so I would have more to give. And so my father's words of say yes as much as you can to help others and you will find purpose and meaning and be free, it turned into me making the choices that were creating a beautiful life, even under the worst circumstances. And today I realize, as I get older, that more of the choices I make today are rooted in that same origin, conversation, and they continue to feed my soul, my heart, and my vision for ensuring that we're creating a world that works for more people.
John, I think people have said this when I share the story of my grandmother, and I've heard it said about you at so many conferences where I've heard you inspire people and speak to thousands. And the fact is, in both of our situations, the gravest, most depraved, most devastating moments didn't harden us. They softened us. And I think that's probably the biggest revelation I take out of your experience and my own, and how they've come to be intertwined, is that it is so easy when you look at what happened to my grandmother to be less kind in thinking about others, less kind in thinking about the young man who took her life. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't have, I don't excuse his behavior, but he didn't have a chance going in. He had been left to his own devices, living with a single mom who was taking up with a series of bad choice partners until at a certain point, she was given an ultimatum by her live-in boyfriend that it was either her son or him, and she gave him up as a ward of the state. And it was at that point that it triggered something in him that led to that horrible moment 2 weeks later after he'd been given up for adoption. And so when I look at that, it's not that I look at that and excuse his behavior, but I look at that and say, these are, in fact, devastating, powerful circumstances that some people are asked or faced with and faced to confront. And it doesn't always create, and, you know, it doesn't always ennoble us. You know, we often think of, you know, grace and poverty. Sometimes there's not a lot of grace and poverty, and we shouldn't be surprised by that. But we should simply face it as we see it, come into the presence of it, and exist with an idea that it's our job to change it. I used to always say to my father when we had conversations about people that were difficult, difficult family members or difficult people, you know, God doesn't give us points for being nice to my sister, Rochelle, my kid sister. She's the nicest, sweetest person on the planet. There's never an effort involved in being nice to her, but I don't get points to the pearly gates by being nice to Rochelle. I had points for being nice when it's not easy to be nice, when it's almost impossible to be nice, when it's exasperating to be nice and to be kind and to be other-centered when it's so much easier to think about myself or others. And I think, John, that's certainly one of the lessons I've taken away from our friendship, as fast-growing as it's been, is that you do not get hardened by any of this experience. You only get softer and better from it.
You know, I thank you for saying that. I feel it's important maybe to say what I'm going to say now, that in some ways I'm unrecognizable. The young person I was, the anger I had inside me, the young man who was capable of committing the crime that I committed, it's like I'm a completely, completely different person. And yet, we know many people say people don't change. You know, they just learn to navigate life differently or whatever. I want people to know that Youth Build's young people, yes, they have challenges and they've, you know, struggled in life. And but with some love, support, guidance, and belief in them, they can change. And they can turn their lives around, and not just their own lives. They can actually become leaders in their families and their communities and even in the world. And I'm really proud to be part of a movement that sees that potential and power in young people to do good and to pay it forward.
You've led this movement, John. You've led this movement. And I think you said something very powerful just now that I want to dissect a little bit here. And that is this idea that you're there to believe in someone. You know, one of the things I learned from Menard is the power of believing in another person when they don't feel they can do it. Believing even when you have your own doubts, but putting out that belief into the oxygen, into the atmosphere, into a manifestation to say, you know what? I know it's tough to believe in you can do this, but I'm going to believe it anyway. And ultimately and invariably, you've seen it time and time again. It does work. It does offer a powerful lesson on how to persevere, how to be resilient, and how to move things forward in a positive way.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. And I do own my responsibility and my commitment to being a voice for second chances, to opening doors where I can. And then, you know, of course, always remembering folks need to walk through those doors once they're opened and pave their own way. But I'm grateful to be part of a movement that believes in second chances.
I am too, and I'm glad to be joining you, John. And this is where we come to the end of our second episode, but we have a big announcement to make. I am so pleased to let folks know. You know, first of all, John, thank you so much for sharing your story. But thank you. You know, one of your most coveted treasures right now is your time. I mean, we just got you as you were coming back from Chicago. You're on your way to traveling somewhere else. You're constantly on the go. You have the demands of a CEO and a big organization. And so I feel really blessed that we were able to carve out this time together. But here's our big announcement. We are not done talking about this powerful movement to advance the cause of our youth. And so we are going, John and I are going to be powered together ongoing in a series about life in the second chance lane. And I'm so, so grateful that you've accepted this challenge with me, despite all these other commitments, to do this on a regular basis. And so my listeners and friends out there, you now have John's voice to add to the chorus of those who are disrupted out there. John is going to be sharing these powerful insights as he leads a global movement forward to upskill, lead people, and provide them lessons in lifelong learning and leadership that change lives. And John, I just want to say thank you. I'm excited for what we're going to do. Both of us have our creative juices now going. We've been ideating on what our next episode is going to look like. But thank you, John, for making this commitment. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. And I think we're going to also offer another version of Youth Build, and it's Youth Build Storytelling, you know, 1.0, where we share these powerful stories knowing that it's a tease. It's a tease for people to get more involved. It's a tease for people to get disrupted with us. It's a tease for people to say, you know what? What they're doing is tough. They're going to need some help. I'm going to come on board, right?
Absolutely. And I really enjoyed our today and our conversations, and I look forward to our next time together.
Fantastic. So to our listening and viewing audience, this has been Ron Stefanski with Disrupt Ed, announcing a new launch of a new series with John Valverde, the CEO of Youth Build, a powerful magnet for a global youth movement that is taking people who need a second chance, who need someone to believe in them, and is standing firm in his commitment to make sure an organization with over 300 different locations out there is bringing our troubled youth and those who are gifted and at risk, and they are both gifted and at risk at the same time, and bringing them forward. And so, John, thank you for the work you're doing, and thank you for getting disrupted with us. And we'll share more in a few weeks about our ongoing series. So I'm super tickled about this. And John, thank you so much. And to our listening audience, get engaged with us. That means give us your feedback, give us your responses, share this story, and get involved with us. Okay, youthbuild.org. Find John, find me. Let's get this going. Thank you so much. Until next time.